proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your host, Nena Arias. She has proclaimed truth for over 40 years in many nations of the world and now endeavors to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They're passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now, your host, Nena Arias.
The cycles of nations. There's nothing new under the sun. This is the topic we will be looking at today. So I welcome you to the program. I'm Nena Arias. The more people become acquainted with God's word, the more they will know that what happens on earth is under God's control. He has the last word in all circumstances. He is still Lord of his creation. So the more we become acquainted with God's word, the more we will be knowledgeable of the times that we are living in and what is happening in the world. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 9 says, "What has been is what will be. And what has been done is what will be done, and there's nothing new under the sun." End of quote. Many people are very disconcerted as we continue to witness the contortion and the deformation of the United States of America. Our heart breaks of what is happening to our country and other nations of the world. But this is what we must know, that we must not think for a moment that we are seeing unusual events. By that I mean these things have happened before. I don't deny that the boiling point of national desperation is increasing and can lead to a dangerous outcome. We all sense it. But I also know that we can seize the moment and steer this nation back to the only reliable source that has all the solutions to the most complex problems created by the misguided ideas of humans. Truth has a way of fixing things. Even though people may not like the truth, it doesn't change the truth. So as we face these disconcerting moments, what are we to do? Because we do have a responsibility. America must not continue to look toward any other form of government other than the one we know in our origin. We must not look toward Europe for guidance, because they are rapidly falling into the same social conditions that brought about two world wars. The cycle is repeating itself. Even worse, Europeans are embracing the failed ideology of communism and radical ideas promising to make them stable and to lead the world back to a tried and failed utopia of Nazism and Marxism. These are failed ideologies. Now, the sad part is that these radical ideologies have already crossed the Atlantic. They have been here for a long time, and they threaten our way of life. They have become emboldened, and they are embedded in the high echelon of government in the United States. These ideas have already been here for quite some time. Does that surprise you? People embrace these radical political messiahs every time the social climate worsens. They want human messiahs to come to the forefront and save us. Truly, there is nothing new under the sun, and history is here to teach us. If our minds are open, to learn from thousands of years of these vicious cycles. Way back in antiquity, King Solomon could already see this when he wrote the scripture that we just read in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. What has been is what will be. It has happened before, and it's going to happen again. What has been done is what will be done, and there's nothing new under the sun. Now, I know that the only difference between past civilizations and ours is the modern scientific and technological discoveries and conveniences that we now enjoy. But everything else regarding human behavior is old news. Do you know why? Because of the infection of sin in every human heart. We're born with a sinful heart. And unless, with God's help, we ask Him to give us a new heart and we work toward implementing the principles of God's kingdom here on earth, the same things will happen over and over and over again. This is why we should not be surprised. In America, we are blessed. We don't have to reinvent the social wheel. All we must do is pay attention to those who understood the vision for the experiment of this new nation. There's a vast difference between the love of power and the power of love. They are two opposite points in the pendulum. Our first president, George Washington, understood the distinction, and so must we. In his farewell address of 1796, he warned about the danger of the love of power that gives birth to authoritarianism if the checks and balances are not upheld to limit government power. And this is something that was very present in the minds of the founders. We must put in the checks and balances for everyone. Checks and balances for the president. Checks and balances for Congress. Even checks and balances for the people. No one was to rise above and usurp governmental power on their own. And he wrote the following from his farewell address, and it says, "It is important, likewise, that the habits of thinking in a free country should inspire caution in those entrusted with its administration, to confine themselves within their respective constitutional spheres, avoiding, in the exercise of the powers of one department, to encroach upon another. The spirit of encroachment tends to consolidate the powers of all the departments in one, and thus to create, whatever the form of government, a real despotism. A just estimate of that love of power and the proneness to abuse it, which predominates in the human heart, is sufficient to satisfy us of the truth of this position." I'm going to pause right there. This is very, very important if we are going to preserve, or at this point, reclaim the form of government that we were given. And it says that everyone should confine themselves within their respective constitutional spheres. Don't cross the line into somebody else's jurisdiction. Obey the divisions. Respect one another. Otherwise, he said, if those lines are crossed, it will consolidate the powers of all the departments into one, and that is dangerous. I continue quoting from this farewell address. It says, "The name of American, which belongs to you, in your national capacity, must always exalt the just pride of patriotism more than any appellation derived from local discriminations. With slight shades of difference, you have the same religion, biblical Christianity, manners, habits, and political principles." I'm going to pause right there. It is very important to note, and true historians will tell us the same, that whenever the founding fathers, the early colonists, and the early patriots referred to religion, they were always talking about Christianity and following its manners, its habits, and principles, because this is the level at which the people could come in agreement. So keep that in mind. I continue quoting. It says, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, biblical Christianity and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism, who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained with religion, with biblical Christianity." I'm going to pause right there. There is no doubt that the founders, and in this case, George Washington, had learned that if we are not keeping ourselves with checks on the morality that we learn from the Word of God, we're going to indulge in so many things. There will be nothing to hold back the depravity of the human heart. I continue quoting. It says, "Observe good faith and justice towards all nations. Cultivate peace and harmony with all. Religion and morality enjoin this conduct, and can it be that good policy does not equally enjoin it? Can it be that Providence has not connected the permanent felicity of a nation with its virtue?" End of quote. Dear friends, Washington knew of God's providence and plans for the nation. This was very obvious. He also understood that other countries would imitate the idea of this nation where citizens are the government and therefore responsible for maintaining it healthy and free from corruption as they learn the practical application of God's ethics in all areas of life, which is the only means for social order and unity. The founders felt a tremendous responsibility to set the foundation very solid upon godly principles for this country, but also they knew that the eyes of the world were upon these early American colonies to see what they were going to do, because the word had spread. Something good is happening in the colonies. These people are doing something out of the ordinary, and it's working for them. So yes, the eyes of the world, of other nations, were upon the colonies, and yes, they were going to be imitated. From 1796 to 2021, 225 years have transpired, and the nation is facing her greatest challenge. And we must say, not from foreign threats. Our enemies are not foreign, but from within our borders. And this should be of great concern. The swift and rash movement into humanistic culture and away from our original foundation in the God of the Bible, it's not going to end well, folks. It's not going to end well. The past and present vicious cycles of nations attest to that fact. I have mentioned many times in these programs that along with the Bible, along with God's Word, we must pay attention to true world history, to true records that tell us about the development of past civilizations, what went wrong, and why they fell into total ruin. Before and after the birth of this nation, voices have been raised to warn her with uncompromising admonitions to return to the biblical faith of the forefathers. This is a cry that once again we are hearing all across the nation. Sadly, thus far, to no avail or to very little avail. People think that we can continue down the path that we have been walking and still have a prosperous nation. That is a false assumption. Real knowledge and understanding and wisdom are not in the minds of individuals that reject God's revealed truth as found in the Bible. They don't have good knowledge, good solid knowledge, good solid understanding of life, of government, of the economy. Their principles and their perspective is erroneous. Consider what William Henry Seward, that lived from 1801 to 1872, he stated in his writings and speeches. Do you know who Seward was? For those who may not know, the following is a glimpse of him as quoted by author William Federer in his invaluable work, America's God and Country, Encyclopedia of Quotations. And I quote, Seward was governor of the state of New York from 1839 to 43. He was a U.S. senator from 1849 to 61, and secretary of state under President Lincoln during the war between the states, 1861 to 1865. Lincoln's assassins also attempted to kill him, and one of John Wilkes Booth's accomplices broke into Seward's home and wounded him. He later served as Secretary of State under President Andrew Johnson from 1865 to 1869, working to implement the Reconstruction in the South. Among his accomplishments was the negotiation of the purchase of Alaska from Russia in 1867. At the time, it was mockingly called, quote, Seward's folly, unquote, as the land was thought to be of no use, but it later proved to be of tremendous worth, end of quote, from William Federer's Encyclopedia of Quotations. Federer goes on to quote the well-documented and important statements by William Henry Seward that we must earnestly consider if we want to make this nation great, not with the wisdom of men, but with the wisdom of God. And that is the only way that America will be able to recuperate. Men's ideas are tried and they have failed. We must run to the source of true wisdom and true understanding of life. And I continue quoting from William Federer. He says, I do not believe human society, including not merely a few persons in any state, but whole masses of men, ever have attained or even can attain a high state of intelligence, virtue, security, liberty, or happiness without the Holy Scriptures. Even the whole hope of human progress is suspended on the ever-growing influence of the Bible, end of quote. Now do you see why our slippery slope of immorality that began to manifest heavily in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s, in this country, something very significant happened to take us down that path. and that is that the Bible was taken out of the public schools. Younger generations no longer were taught from the Word of God. They were not taught to reverence the Word of God. They were not taught to extract the true principles and values of life from the Holy Book. William Seward gave an oration titled "The Destiny of America," in which he stated the following, and I quote, "Shall we look to the sacred desk? Yes, indeed, for it is of divine institution and is approved by human experience. The ministers of Christ, inculcating divine morals under divine authority with divine sanction and sustained and aided by special cooperating influences of the divine spirit, are now carrying further and broadly onward the great work of the renewal of the civilization of the world and its emancipation from superstition and despotism." In 1836, as Vice President of the American Bible Society, William Henry Seward expressed the following, and he said, "I know not how long a Republican government can flourish among a great people who have not the Bible. The experiment has never been tried, but this I do know, that the existing government of this country never could have ever had existence but for the Bible." I'm going to pause right there. Dear friends, who are we going to believe? The modern demagogues? The modern politicians? The modern celebrities? The modern intellectuals? As to the origin of this country? Or do we choose to believe those who were right in the events that formed this nation? Eyewitnesses, contributing patriots that saw the founding of this country and its true foundation with the principles of God's word. This man is saying, Mr. Seward, "I don't know how long a Republican government can flourish with people who don't have the Bible, who don't believe in the Bible, who don't want to apply the Bible." In his time, he said, the experiment has never been tried. But here we are in the 21st century, and God has been chased out of every sphere of government. He only gets lip service when it is convenient, but he is not respected, he's not obeyed, and he is not followed. And Seward says, "This one thing I do know, that this government of this country could never have existed without the Bible. Argue with those closest to the events, because they saw this creation of this country firsthand. They lived through it." And he continues saying, "And further, I do in my conscience believe that if at every decade of years a copy of the Bible could be found in every family in the land, its Republican institutions would be perpetuated." End of quote. That is quite an assertion. He says, we must not lose sight of the Bible. And he says there should be a copy of the Bible with every family. Now, we know that a lot of homes in America still have the Bible. But I venture to say that that Bible is only collecting dust in the bookshelves of most of those homes. Is it read individually and as a family? Is it studied? Is it emphasized as the most important knowledge that any citizen in America could have? That's no longer the truth. As a matter of fact, people who think that way are accused of being old-fashioned, religious fanatics. All kinds of derogatory names are thrown at them simply because they want to grab a hold, embrace, and maintain the Word of God and the wisdom of God in the forefront of life here in this nation. Dear friends, there are vicious cycles that repeat themselves in the nations, And if we don't do anything to break those vicious cycles, they will produce the same detrimental results, because there's nothing new under the sun. Human behavior will always take us back to square one because of sinfulness. So it is impossible to stop these vicious cycles unless we wise up and take the only way out found in a real return to the sure foundation and live the full counsel of God's revealed truth. Now we know not everyone wants to be born again. We know not everyone wants to be a Christian, and that's okay, as long as our laws and our values agree with the Word of God. Then even those who are not in a commitment with God have to follow the rules. We did it in the beginning, and it worked. Why should it be any different now? Let's not believe the defeatists and escapists' voices that say it can never be done. They are wrong. With God, all things are possible. And as far as I know, God has not died. God has the power. The God of the Bible and the Scriptures are living and they are true. This is what Jesus said to the religious leaders and intellectuals of his day in Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. As the religious leaders were discussing with Jesus and wanting to have their own way, Jesus said, "You are wrong, because you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God." End of quote. Stop throwing your religious jargon at me. You are wrong. You do not guide yourself by the Scriptures, and you do not know the power of God. You totally underestimate the power of God. And that is what has happened in our nation. So here we go. Like past civilizations and these nations in the past that just repeated their vicious cycles. They rise, they have their heyday, they start to decline, and they go off into the sea of forgetfulness. Is that what is going to happen to us? Dear friends, we still have time. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we but turn to Him, He will help us turn this nation around, not for our glory, but for His glory, because He still has a plan to follow through on a world scale. Think about it. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions or comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina 27438. Call us at 877-732-2887. That's 877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.